Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Church, I feel like I have a word that's been burning on my heart ever since Brother Pastor Woods gave me the invitation to come. I don't like to just come and just have a fish fry, which was wonderful. But I said, God, give me a word for your people in Washington, North Carolina. I'm nobody, but I felt God spoke to me. In the early morning hours, I was praying whether or not to buy the tickets to come. God woke me up out of the dead sleep, and I began to pray at the foot of my bed, and God spoke to my heart with this message that I have to deliver to you this morning. I woke my wife up and said, we must go to Washington. I felt the Lord has given me a message for this church. And I don't say that lightly. But I know when God has burned a message in my heart for a people. And if you'll grab hold of this word this morning, I believe God is going to do some great and mighty things here in Washington, North Carolina. Man, exactly what your pastor was saying this morning. If man would just get out of the way and let God have his way, we could see a mighty move of God's power in this part of the country, that everybody would know that there is a God in heaven that still rules in the affairs of men. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I quickly want to just minister this word. I've got a lot more preaching than I probably do have time to preach, but we'll just trust the Lord to have his way for the remainder of this service. Praise the Lord. The book of Genesis chapter 18. Very familiar story in the Bible where the Lord began to come and visit Abraham. We remember where they ministered to him with food. And the Bible says here in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you turn with me to verse chapter 21, I believe it is. Verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I had a message burning in my heart, and I'd like to simply title it as we go on to minister this word with this thought, that your promise is not dead. I don't know where you've been throughout the last several years or throughout your Christian walk with God, but there are times where God will speak a word, and in the natural, it does not look like that word is going to come to pass. But I can tell you this morning that if God has spoken to your heart, amen, it is a promise. You can take it to the bank that God is faithful to bring to pass that which he has spoken. You might have to wait a little while, but glory be to God. Hallelujah. God will visit you, amen, at an appointed time to bring to pass that which he has promised. We know the story that Abraham was visited by the Lord, and he was given a promise that his wife would bear a son. Amen. The promised son, Isaac. And it looked like it was not going to take place in the natural. Many of us know the story that it seemed almost impossible in the natural. But how many of us know our God is a God of the impossible? Hallelujah. And with the help of the Lord, I want to deliver this message with all my heart this morning. Amen. That your promise is not dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus for an unction of the Holy Ghost, O God. I ask for inspiration and power and anointing to rest upon the word of God. My expectation is that your will would be done, Lord, in this place today. I ask that the church would have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking this morning. Lord God, we don't need a demonstration of flesh, but we need another demonstration of the power of God in our churches once again. God, you've spoken your word. You promised, Lord God, and many have not seen these promises come to pass. But Lord, would you stir up our hearts to realize that you are a God that is faithful to that which you have spoken. God, I pray today that you would minister to the hearts of your people. Drive back every hindrance and let God arise in this place and let his enemies be scattered. Holy Ghost, have your way and minister to the hearts of your people this morning, I pray. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said amen. Amen. You may be seated, church. Hallelujah. Your promise that God has spoken to you may seem like it's dead. Many a times God will speak and years will go by. And it looks like nothing's happening. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you God is good to his promise. Amen. How many of us know all the promises of God are yea? And altogether, amen. If he has said it, it will, and it shall come to pass. A promise is simply a pledge to do or not to do something that you're not able to fulfill at that point in time when you've given that pledge. But amen, it is something that we need to understand that when God gives a pledge or a commitment or a promise, and he says he'll do it, amen, we can take it to the bank. Can you say amen? Amen. God will fulfill his promises. He is not a man that he should lie. The Bible says, amen, that God has a word that is faithful. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man, amen, that he should repent. Amen. Hath he said it? And amen, shall he not bring it to pass that which he has spoken? Amen. Shall he not make good that which he has said? Amen. God is a God. Man will lie to you. Amen. People will lie to you. Family members, amen, will betray you and turn their backs on you. People will make promises, and amen, many a times they will not be able to keep them, but God will always keep his promises to those that he has given his word. Can you say amen? Glory be to God this morning. I thank God for the promises of his word. The Bible says, and we heard it here, for all the promises of God out of 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 are yea and amen. Amen. And Psalm 119, and give me just a few minutes to lay the foundation of this. Amen. In Psalm 119 and verse 81, he said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Hallelujah. Ah, glory be to God. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord, hallelujah, the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. I'm so thankful that God is not a God that, amen, lies to his people. Amen. There's many false gods in the land that make many promises, but they're not able to keep their promise. Amen. God is one that has shown, amen, that he is faithful to every generation. And for those that will put their faith and their trust in him, when he speaks a word, it will come to pass. Abraham was given a word by the Lord. And until that promised son was born, 25 years, literally, give or take, went by. That's a long time to wait. And for those of you that missed on Thursday night, I simply preached a message on Thursday talking about God is working while you're waiting for him. There's a work that God does for us in the time in between where he gives a promise or speaks a word. Amen. He doesn't necessarily tell you how long it's going to take to fulfill that promise. Amen. And we need to learn as God's people to patiently wait upon the Lord. Patience is one of the most difficult things that we're going to have to learn through our Christian walk. And we must patiently learn to wait on God, because God makes all things beautiful in him. His time. Amen. God is a God of timing. He is a God of specific time. God is not confused. He's not missed the mark. He's not late. Amen. But God is always on time. Amen. He holds all things in the palm of His hand. He is sovereign. He's almighty. And God is still ruling in this world today. Can you say amen? Many of us look at the condition of our government and all that's taking place in this world, and we're looking to man for the answer, as our pastor already said this morning. But amen, disease and doctors, they can only do so much to try to stop what diseases are doing to men. They can do only so much in our Congress and in our Washington, D.C., all the senators and the congressmen. They can only do so much to try to fix the problems of today. But how many of us know that our God is a God that can fix any problem? He can handle any situation. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Can you say amen? God is a God that basically, brothers and sisters, to put it in a nutshell, nothing takes Him by surprise. Circumstances, situations will take us by surprise. Trials will take us by the surprise. The Bible says, think it not strange of these fiery trials which come to try you. Listen, there comes a time in our Christian walk where your faith in God's Word must stand trial. Your faith and my faith must be put to the test, where we're put in a situation or in places in our life where it almost seems impossible that God's going to be able to get us out of this one, where God is going to be able to bring us out of this financial situation, where God is going to be able to make all these wrongs right. I'm telling you, church, that God is a God that can work out any situation. He can do a great and mighty work, and amen, it will confound the wisdom of men, because He is the Almighty God. Hallelujah. God is faithful to fulfill His word. Time is nothing for God. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Glory be to God. I'm talking about a God that nothing takes Him by surprise. Oh, glory be to God. There's a lot of things that I've been surprised when I found them out. There's been some things that have caught me off guard. Can you say amen? But I'm telling you, church, God does not caught off guard by any circumstance or any situation. And what we need to learn to do is to put our faith and our trust in Him and in His Word. Amen. Patiently waiting on God, if I may, amen, backpedal a little bit for a moment and go back to Wednesday night, because some of you were not here. The work that God does while we're waiting. I think of Joseph when he was given the vision by the Lord that he was going to see his brethren bow before him. Amen. And he was thrown into the pit, and we know he went into the prison and sold into Egypt for slavery. But the Bible says that they were envious of him, and they were jealous of him. God gave him the vision of what he was going to do, but God never told him all that he would have to go through, amen, to get to that place. I'm telling you, amen, through much tribulation, we are to enter into the kingdom of God. We must go through trials, because it is the trying of your faith. It's the trying of my faith that puts us to the test. Are we going to believe in our God, or are we going to trust in the arm of the flesh? Can you say amen? While many in today are looking to man for the answer, while many today are leaning on the arm of the flesh, the Bible says to lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. God is faithful, amen, for those that will acknowledge Him in all of their ways, and He will bring to pass that which He has promised you. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Years went by, and Abraham tried to see if he could help God a little bit. And we know that he slept with Hagar. You know, God doesn't need help to bring to pass what He wants to do. God doesn't need any help to do His work. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, church, all He needs us to do is put our faith in the spoken word. Can you say amen? Faith faith cometh by hearing. If you have heard a word from God in your Christian walk since you've been born again and regenerated, and you have been born again, a new creature in Christ, where old things have passed away and behold, all things become new. Basically, brothers and sisters, there's that renewing of the mind. How many of us know that the carnal mind is the enemy of God? See, that's the biggest battlefield right there, is that natural mind that wants to try to figure out all the details, wants to try to figure out everything that God's doing. But I'm here to tell you, sometime the worst enemy is not the devil. It's your mind. It's your conscience. That is the enemy of God that will look to hinder you from walking in that which God has promised you. You need to get a hold of that mind and let it be renewed by the Word of God. Oftentimes, before I ever get up to preach, I'll oftentimes sit there and meditate on that word and meditate up on that word. Any preacher knows you want to just digest it in your mind and in your spirit to the point where it literally saturates your soul and your mind. Why? Because there's been times where I've had to bring forth a word from God, and I know I've heard from God, but yet the enemy will come and say, has God said? Has God said? Did God tell you to preach that? Did God give you that promise? Did God speak to you 10 or 15 years ago, back on one day where he said he's going to bring something to pass? I feel I'm preaching to somebody this morning that has heard a promise from God in yesteryear, but yet it almost looks dormant. It almost looks like it is not coming to pass. But I'm here to tell you, church, that God, amen, does not forget his promise like man does. God is still a God that keeps a good record of who he's given a promise to. And I'm here to tell you, he is not forgotten. Church in Washington, North Carolina. He's got a people here that he's made some promises to. And I'm here to tell you, church, he's going to bring his promise to pass. Hallelujah. God wants to remove all natural, listen to me now, remedies. We can fix this. We can make this happen. Go into Hagar and let's see if we can get a son out of this one. Sarah says, go ahead. And look at the mess we got today because of that. Praise the Lord. My God, I'm telling you, amen, you do anything in the flesh, you'll mess the will of God up for your life. Don't you get ahead of God's will. Don't you get ahead of his will. If he's spoken a word, you stand still and you wait on God because God is faithful. You stand still. Don't lean to your own understanding and begin to try to figure out what God is doing. When's it coming, God? When are you going to bring it to pass? What's going to happen? It looks like it's getting worse and worse and worse. But I'm here to tell you, God has literally got to bring your promise to the point of death before he can speak it and say, I'm going to bring what I've said to pass. I'm going to do what I have spoken. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost today to tell somebody, do not think that your promise with God is dead. Don't think that God, that which he has spoken to you in years gone by, just because you do not see it happening, means that he is not going to answer that which he has spoken. The things that seem impossible with man is nothing for God. I'm not preaching to you anything that you don't know this morning. Amen. We look as preachers for a great word of revelation and knowledge. No, no, no. Amen. The key to preaching is speaking a word in season. Speaking the right word in the right season. And then the Holy Ghost will begin to anoint it. The Holy Ghost will begin to bring it alive into the hearts of people and stir up their remembrance of the promises of years gone by. I felt today, amen, as I was praying this morning, God, I know you've got some people at the Wesleyan Pentecostal Holiness Church that have heard from God in years gone by, and they've lost, amen, all hope. They're almost coming to the point of where they're saying, maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe God really didn't speak it. But I'm here to tell you, that natural mind of yours is lying to you. God has spoken it. He will bring to pass that which he has promised to you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and 9 that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which can raise things from the dead. I don't care how much man tries to intervene, they can never make life. Because there's only one that can give life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, I've seen a few miracles in my day, but there's one that I have not seen with my own eyes, and that is the raising from the dead. But I know it is possible, because all things are possible to those that believe. And I'm telling you, church, I've heard stories of men that have laid hands on the sick. Amen. Sometimes God will let things die right in front of your face. I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm telling you, it almost looks impossible. It almost looks like there's no life. It almost looks like there's no hope in the circumstances or the situation. But hey, man, I'm telling you, your promise is not dead. God is still speaking. God is going to bring it to pass. I wish somebody would help me preach this morning. I believe that God is getting ready to bring forth some life into some of your dead promises. I believe the Holy Ghost is getting ready to move and stir up your heart and make you remember that He is still a God that will keep His word. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Well, praise
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We mess a lot of things up when we get in the flesh. The Bible says no flesh is going to glory in His presence. No man's going to get the credit. Hey, amen. I believe God's letting this church age literally come to the brink of spiritual death. That's why many churches are dying left and right. Listen, I still believe that before we get caught out of here, that there's going to be a revival in the house of God to the true church. Hallelujah. Not the apostate church. Not the church that, amen, has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. But I'm talking about the people that have been faithful to put their trust and walk in His word. I'm talking about the people that have hid His word in their heart, that they might not sin against their God. I don't believe revival's coming to the apostate charismatic bunch. And I'm not looking to put them down. But I'm telling you, there's a price to pay to walk with God. And to walk with God, you've got to walk in His light, which is in His word. Hallelujah. For the word of God is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, we got enough storytellers today that are messing with the emotions and feelings of people. But we don't need men, amen, to tickle our ears and make us feel good. We don't need manipulating preachers with degrees of psychology. Amen. Paul told the Corinthian church, I didn't come to you with my great education. I didn't come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom. But I came with you, amen, preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I come to you not with my great education, but I've come to you in the power of the Holy Ghost, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm telling you, church, we need another demonstration of the power of God in this generation. Oh, I want to see it. I believe it's coming to a people that are hungering and thirsting for a move of God. Can you say amen?
I believe it, church.
I believe God's going to demonstrate His power one more time. Oh, yeah. I think of old Samson grinding at the mill, going round and around, round and around, round and around. I'm telling you, no progress. Amen. A church that's lost its vision. A church that's lost its power. But I'm telling you, he looked almost dead. He looked useless. Oh, but God can bring life out of death. Oh, glory be to God. Samson stood between those pillars and said, one more time, oh God, would you display your power? Would you display your glory? Would you manifest that we are, amen, the people of God today? I believe God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit upon the people. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We got too many that are leaning to their own understanding than the wisdom of men with their doctor's degrees, with their PhDs. Amen. Hallelujah. They got more degrees than a thermometer. I talked to one man from the Church of God in Christ. He was a good man. He was a humble man. He had seven or eight doctor's degrees. We sat at a fellowship pastoral meeting. And I talking to him and he looked at me. And he says, you know what, preacher? As I stand behind the pulpits and preach the gospel in our organization, I realize we have fallen far from where we were and what we once had. Because we're relying now on man's intelligence, man's ability, man's talent. And I'm telling you, church, no flesh is going to glory in His presence. Amen. If this generation wants a demonstration of flesh, then God's going to give it to them. He's going to let them go and, amen, become a form, a formality with no power, no anointing. But I still believe there's a remnant in the land that have total dependence upon the power of God. I'm telling you, church, this church age is about dead. It is about lost everything. But I still believe there's a power. I still believe there's a revival that's getting ready to come to the church. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe we can have a revival in Washington, North Carolina. I would shake the Bible belt to show that there's still a God in heaven that will recognize those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Got expectation believing that God is going to move some people that haven't moved out of the pew in a long time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you. Amen. I understand we're going through it. I understand that persecution is coming against all of us. I know we're all struggling financially. I understand that we're going through mental depression. We're going through spiritual oppression. We're going, many of you haven't had the sweet rivers of the Holy Ghost flowing through your soul in a while. But I'm here to tell you, it's still available. You might feel like there's death in your soul, but I read, if any man thirst, if any man hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Hallelujah. It's a promise. And His promise is not dead. God is faithful to bring to pass that which He has promised. What promises has He given you? Where in days gone by have you heard the voice of God? And you know that that word that He gave you was like fire shut up in your bones. But see, after a while, time will go by. The winds of adversity will come against you. Amen. The man that built his house upon the rock, seeing that storm come. Hallelujah. How many of us know, brothers and sisters, when the winds of adversity and trials of affliction and hard times come, it will blow out the flame sometimes. Yeah. But I read in my Bible about that smoking flax. How many of us know about that smoking flax? Just a little bit of smoke. I was watching our sister. We were having a weenie roast last night at the pastor's house. And she was in there fanning the flame. All I seen was smoke. I didn't see a flame. And she was working it, brother. She tried pouring on the oil. And guess what? There was no flame yet. But she kept working it. Are you listening to me? You know, the word of God will not profit you. Amen. If you don't believe it, listen to me. I'm telling you, the Bible says that the same word that was spoken unto some of them did not help the other bunch of them. Some of them believed it. Some of them didn't believe it. And I don't believe revival. I don't believe a move of God. I don't believe there are those that don't believe in God's power and in His miracles are going to see it. Listen to me. We've got to get our mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. Let God's Word, amen, wash out all unbelief, all malice, all pride, all arrogance, all self-sufficiency, and let us get back to the place where we depend solely upon the spoken word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, we got to take him for his word. Many of you don't know me. I could make you a promise, and you're not too sure if I'm going to fulfill it. You got to wait a little while to see what type of man I am. Amen. We got to prove ourselves sometimes.
Yes.
Come on now. You hear preachers? First time a lot of you heard me preach. Amen. Amen. But none of you really know me. But I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter what man thinks of you. All that matters is what God thinks of you. I'm not worried about pleasing men. We got too many people that are looking to please men. Show off and look at my talent and my ability. Look what I can do. Look how good I can play. But I'm telling you, God says, amen, I'm not going to put my stamp of approval on it. Amen. I'm telling you, we've got to have some true humility from some men and women of God that will humble themselves under the almighty hand of God. And he said he would exalt you in due time. I believe God is getting ready to manifest some sons of God in this last day hour. Some men that have been tucked away like John the Baptist for a while. Amen. On the backside of a desert somewhere like Moses. Listen to me. I'm talking about the time of preparation where God, amen, is... Listen to me, church. It was necessary for those men to be driven into a wilderness experience. Paul went into Arabia for a season. Not much is spoken about it, but I believe the Holy Ghost was teaching him. I believe God was preparing him. I believe he was receiving some things that weren't from that carnal mind that knew everything. Paul said, I knew a lot. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But I'm telling you, he said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. Oh, hallelujah to God. Church, I'm telling you, I believe we're getting ready to see some men come out of their wildernesses. The Bible says in Mark that he was driven into a wilderness experience. That same precious Holy Ghost that comforts us and ministers to us and give us peace and joy in his presence sometimes will thrust you into a place of trial. Will also drive you and lead you into a place to have your faith tried and tested by him. We read of Abraham where he came to the place where he was tested and it almost looked impossible, but he trusted in the one that was more than able to perform that which seemed to be impossible. I'm telling you, church, we can't look to our own reasoning or our own ability or our own talent, but we've got to realize there is one that is more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah! The work of God in our hearts. Listen, I'm a mediocre man. You're a mediocre man or woman in our own ability. We can get by with it. But I'm telling you, we need the Holy Ghost. We need him to perform for us. I'm telling you, there's many a times I fell flat on my face. There's many a times I couldn't function. Amen. But I'm telling you what, church, when he comes by and he touches you, I'm telling you, if he's called you to preach, you wait for him. Don't you go preaching, preacher, until you be endued with that promise. Don't you be going out and trying to do a work for God or do anything until the Holy Ghost has put his stamp of approval on you and says that you're qualified, you're ready. I believe there's a promise that we must wait for. There's a promise that we must wait for. Some of you have not stepped into what God has called you to do. He hasn't fulfilled his promise completely because he's still working in you. He's preparing you to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy. Tried and true. Oh, we don't want to talk about the trials, but we're looking at a generation of preachers and charismatics and Bible scholars that are telling people, oh, if you're going through something, then you're not the elect of God. You're not the favor of God. I'm telling you, church, amen, I read through my Bible that through much, amen, affliction and persecution and adversity, is the only way we're going to see God move in our life, because He's a God that shows up in times of trouble. He's not a God that, amen, always shows up when times are good. You can't see God during your good times. You can be on the mountaintop shouting, but I'm telling you, where you're going to see your experience in God is when you get down into a valley, when you get down into a trial. Then God can manifest His power in your hour of trouble. The Bible tells us that He is a very present help in the time of our trouble. Hallelujah! God will show up right when you need Him. He manifests Himself in trouble. It hasn't got bad enough yet. Where's God? He's waiting till you, amen, have no other option. I'm telling you, we were in so much financial trouble the last 2 years. Brother Ross, it looked impossible. It looked impossible like I was going to be able to keep my equipment. It looked impossible like I was going to be able to continue to pay our rent and mortgage and, amen, pay our bills. It looked impossible that I was going to be able to pay down some of those credit cards. Listen to me, I'm just being real with you. Amen, I didn't work for 4 months after we had an accident last year. But I'm telling you, God, amen, gave me a promise. He said, if you be about my business, I'll be about yours. There were times where I didn't feel like going to Mexico, but the Holy Ghost said, I've got a work for you to do in that land. I'm telling you, there's times where you're not going to feel like doing a work for God. But when you be about your Father's business, He will be about yours. It got bad, brother. But I found myself in a prayer closet, closing myself up with God. I was in my wilderness, brother. Not too many people knew altogether what I was going through, but I closed myself in with God. You know, there's a time in Matthew, amen, he said, Jesus, when he was teaching, he said, there's a time where you got to shut it all out. All your problems, all your adversity, all your trials. And you got to get alone with me and shut the door. I'm telling you what, amen, you want to find the answer? You want to find the remedy for your problem? You want an answer to your prayer? You've got to learn to shut the door. You've got to learn to close in with God and get a word from God. I'm talking about somebody that needs a word from God today. And I've come to bring you a word from the Holy Ghost. Stand still and know that your promise that God gave you is not dead. It looks impossible. But the Holy Ghost says today to the Wesleyan Pentecostal Church, I'm going to bring to pass every word that I have promised. Those of you that are personally waiting on God for your promise, there'll be a season in which God will bring it to pass. Are you listening? Let me give you a little word and we'll begin to wind this down. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 10:36, for after you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that is the most important thing. Patience and doing the will of God. That's the hardest thing to learn to do in the Christian life. Because I'm telling you, the devil's going to send some little roadblocks here and there and detours. He's going to try to get you off going this way or that way. And I want to encourage you young people today, don't you do anything without getting counsel from your elders first. Because in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amen. How many young folks and people that we've seen try to step out and do something that God was never in? God never called them to do it. They had a flutter of emotion or feeling or their carnal mind maybe had a scripture illuminated to them. That doesn't mean God spoke it. I'm telling you, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. You need to not only have the Holy Ghost speak it to you, but He'll speak it to those that are in authority and rule over you. Are you listening? I'm telling you, amen, you can't just lean to your own understanding, but you've got to acknowledge that God has put those in your life, amen, to keep you in the path that you are to walk in. Don't be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and God's going to show you what you need to do. I figured I'd just throw that in there. I didn't have it in my notes this morning, but I figured somebody could have had got something out of that that would help them, because I believe what I'm seeing on a lot of our people today is a spirit of anxiousness. They're wanting to see God's promise come to pass. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel they want to see the will of God come to pass, but they're getting anxious. They're getting weary in well-doing. You want it so bad that you can taste it, but it's not time yet. The Holy Ghost says, wait for the promise. I'm telling you, your promise is not dead, but it will come in the season in which God has ordained it. It will only come to pass when God has ordained it. Don't let that spirit of anxiousness get on you, brother. Sister, get into your closet and overcome that anxious spirit. Kill that thing. I'm telling you, when anxiousness starts to possess the heart of a man or a woman, it will drive them to do things in the flesh. It will make them seek more than they should be seeking. Ah, listen to me. There comes a time where a man should seek after a wife. But when you seek for your wife more than the Holy Ghost, there's a problem. I'm telling you, church, we want the will of God. We want the promises of God. But they'll only come when He says they should come. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's faithful. Oh, hallelujah. The worst thing you can do, amen, is get out of the will of God. And those of you that aren't married, amen, worst thing you can do is marry somebody that won't keep their promise. How many young people have you seen get out of the will of God and marry not according to God's will? And they got a spouse that cheated on them. They got somebody that betrayed them. But I'm telling you, it will be worth it all. Amen. When you have, amen, the one that God has sent you, the one that God has ordained for you. Wait for your promise. Wait for the one that God has ordained for your life. And the blessings of God will make you rich, and it will add no sorrow. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. That's why I'm happy today, because Brother Cottle, I waited for the one that God gave me. And I'm telling you, it's added no sorrow, because it was a blessing that God had ordained. Glory be to God. Glory. Help me to finish this, Lord. Glory. God is more than able. I said He's more than able to take all of your circumstances, your situations, all your adversity, all your trials of affliction, every one of your financial troubles. God is able, if you continue to love Him and seek Him, to make them all work together for the good. Don't try to figure out the plan of God. Abraham waited and waited and waited. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. Woo! Glory! I'm telling you, a visitation. God just doesn't come for any old reason. When He comes to visit you, He comes to mean business. When He comes to... Oh, my God. I wish somebody would have heard what I just said. I'm telling you, when God comes, He comes with something. Amen. That will fulfill what He has spoken. I'm telling you, church, He's either going to give you a word or He's coming to fulfill a word. And I believe I have some under my voice today that have been waiting for a promise that has long been delayed. But I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, God has not forgotten that which He has promised you. Hallelujah. Some of you would say, has God forgotten about me? Look at everybody else. Look what they're getting. Look at their blessings. Look at them moving on with their life. Look at them getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at them getting a financial blessing. Look at them getting their healing. And then you begin to get that envious spirit. I read in my Bible, in the book of Samuel, about Hannah. And she had a desire to have a baby. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the barren womb is never satisfied. It's never content. Amen. I had a sister-in-law that was never able to have a baby, brother. And I'll tell you, she was a miserable woman. Amen. Because she never found the joy of the Lord to be her strength and the one that would satisfy her. And I believe sometimes, amen, when we'll put God first, amen, the principle is, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, all of these other things shall be added unto you. When we get things in the proper priority in our life and putting God first above everything, God will bring those promises to pass. After you have obeyed and patiently waited, God will bring your promise to pass. Hallelujah. She wanted it so bad, that baby. She began to get envious because of the other sister there. Well, her name skips my mind. Somebody help me. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 2. Glory be to God. That's all right. I can't hardly pronounce it, but you know the story. Eli seen her praying and thought she was drunk. Some of you have been praying, crying out to God. The sister was crying and praying and crying out to God. Even in the midst of her heartache, even in the midst of her pain, she knew that the one that would make a promise would be good to bring it to pass. The Bible says that when Eli asked her, "What are you doing, woman? You drinking?" She says, "No, I'm pouring out my heart unto the Lord." Oh, something about when you can pour out your heart and all of your heart unto the Lord. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, that she went back to lay with her husband after they had worshiped. The Bible says that God had remembered. He remembered Hannah. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten the promise that He gave you. Your promise is not dead. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that God visited Hannah. Oh, she laid with her husband, but God remembered her. And what He had spoken to her, she got a word, I believe, in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. She got a word in prayer. Amen. And she was able to go back and worship God, the Bible says, and lay with her husband. And the Lord remembered that promise. I'm telling you, church, that God doesn't forget about His promise, but He will bring to pass that which He has promised. Stand with me this afternoon. I came and poured out my heart to you the best way that I could today and delivered the message I know God gave me. Many a times we get discouraged. We get afraid of the unknown, the uncertainty in our lives and for our future. But I'm telling you, if you'll continue to believe in the Word of God. Oh, God, help me here. Faith in God can move some mighty mountains. Where does faith come from? From the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need a Word to sustain you and to keep you in that hour of temptation. When your mind starts to say, lean to your own understanding, try to make this happen. The devil is a liar. God's Word is enough. I like what the Bible says. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him.
There is a time and a season for everything. And I'm telling you, it will be worth it all when we patiently wait for the promises of God. Amen. I'm going to hand this back over to our pastor. Amen. And he can lead us as he feels the Lord is leading. He can add or do anything he wants because he's the pastor. But I've delivered my heart to you and felt I've obeyed God. I feel there's some here that have been discouraged because you haven't seen things come to pass in your life. But there's a set time in which God is going to visit you. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a set time. There's a set time. Glory. If God has spoken it, He's going to bring it to pass. God is not slack. I don't care what the devil's told you. I don't care how your carnal mind has fought you. God is good to His word. Hallelujah. After you patiently endure, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the waiting, Hebrews 6 and 15, He obtained the promise. The promise of God was brought to pass. It looked impossible. Did not look like it could happen. But God said, I'm going to get all the glory out of this one. I'm getting all the glory out of this one. Hallelujah, Pastor.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. I think we need to come and declare to God this morning. We're going to wait on Him. We're going to take Him at His word. Let's find us a place and talk to Him today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, church. Let's pray. Let's talk to God this morning. Hallelujah.